Well, as always, I covet your prayers here this morning. I'm very thankful for the opportunity to, as Brother Drew was saying, not only to serve the Lord, but we get to be part of Him and to enjoy our fellowship with Him. So I have a little question, a little rhetorical question to start with here this morning. And the question is this. I'll ask maybe the adults first and the children can be separate. Just you can answer to yourself. But for the adults, how many times do you get on your knees during the day? It can vary. Probably depends on what type of work you're doing. I can imagine a mother or a grandma, you know, can be busy if there's children around, doing a lot of extra things with children, maybe getting on their knees for that. And maybe someone that's working and having to work, you know, get on their knees to work, so on and so forth. So it could be, you know, a handful of times maybe for an adult or more. But then children, if you ask them that question, they probably get on their knees several times a day, especially just the little toddlers. That's a pretty common thing for them. Generally speaking, we'll just say it this way, that when we do get on our knees, it is voluntarily, it's willingly, all right? It's like we're not being forced to do it. It's we're just trying to take care of business, whether we're, like I said, just picking something up, or you're working, or playing with a little child, or maybe you're praying, actually. That's another good thing to get on your knees for. But the point is here this morning, there will come a day where all mankind will be required to get on their knees. And interesting enough, we covered some of this in the adult Sunday school class this morning. I didn't realize that it was going to be covering that. We're going to read a few scriptures that were mentioned this morning already. But to say it this way, that more specifically, that every knee will bow to our Lord and Savior. And some will be willingly, like us, and others will be unwillingly because they haven't been practicing that in their lives. So again, us as believers, this will come naturally to us. Just bowing our knees to our Lord and Savior, it's like, yes, thank you, Lord. This is it, the time we've all been waiting for. And it will be in true adoration and reverence to the Lord. But to the unbelievers, it'll be a different story because it will be unwillingly, and it will be to, or we'll just say it this way, it'll be to their faithful and eternal reward for them. But I want to cover some scriptures here this morning to establish some thoughts here. I first want to turn to Philippians, the second chapter. We're going to read a few verses here, verses 9 through 11. So Philippians 2, we'll start there. Philippians 2 and 9. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So I want to write the title on the board here this morning. Now, if you notice, I have written on the board, every knee shall bow. The scripture we just read, it says the word specifically, it says should bow. But the scriptures we're going to read here in a moment uses the word shall. But to think of this, these passages here, this chapter actually, this part of the chapter, is talking about the supreme power and authority that God gave Jesus because of his submission to his will in dying on the cross for our sins and then his resurrection from the grave. And so that great power that was given him, God said, all power is given to him in heaven and earth. So Jesus has this ultimate and supreme power and authority. And so basically what it's saying here is that all creation, the angels in heaven, those in paradise, all those mankind alive or dead, under the ground, is what the scripture's saying here, they will all bow to the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? So I want to read a couple other scriptures here in Romans, the 14th chapter. And these are some that were mentioned in Sunday school this morning. So in Romans 14, we have a couple more here. Romans 14, verses 11 and 12. It says, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So every one of us shall give account of himself to God." So these passages is basically covering more of not judging one another, but realizing that we all are going to have to stand before God and give an account for ourselves, okay? But again, the emphasis is every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God. And this is saying in this scripture, it says, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord," is actually referencing a scripture I want to read in the Old Testament. There's a couple of scriptures there in Isaiah, the 45th chapter. I want to turn and pick up these scriptures. Excuse me, Isaiah 45. Verses 21 through 23. It says here, "Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord, that there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior? There is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear." So what he's saying here in this passage, the prophet Isaiah, is speaking of the one and only Savior of the world, okay? And that again, who will all bow before him, all right? So I want to dig into this a little bit about just thinking of the word bowing to someone. It can be described a variety of ways, but I'll just express it this way. To bow to someone is simply submitting to their power and authority. And it could mean also to pay homage and to worship. We'll give some examples. So, for instance, you have the servants versus their masters. Thankfully, none of us had to grow up in a culture where we were physical servants to masters. But throughout history, that has been a common theme, even in the scriptures, the Old Testament, and even in the New Testament. And to this day, there's still areas of this world where there are literal servants and they're subject to their masters. And if they don't bow, you know, things won't go so well for them. So that is something that is an example of bowing. Another one is, and again, in our culture here, we're not used to this necessarily, but where kings or queens are, or maybe even a dictator, they require, now maybe they don't require that you literally get on your knees, but you better bow to them some way, somehow, or else some things won't go well for you either. But it's paying homage to that position of them being a king or a queen or a dictator or whatever. And it's a different type of fear that they put over you for that, all right? But then, obviously, the one we're more familiar with is bowing to the Lord in true honor and reverence to Him and worshiping Him. And I want to add this little side note. Like I said earlier, I insinuated this. You know, sometimes, quite honestly, in the physical sense, maybe we're limited and we can't bow on our knees before the Lord. But you know what? We can bow our heads and we can bow our hearts. That's what matters, is what is in our hearts. And the Lord knows, because quite honestly, a person can be physically bowing on their knees, but they're not bowing in their heart. You understand what I'm saying? God knows the difference. We can't fool him. You might fool someone else, but you're not fooling the Lord, okay? So I just wanted to throw that little plug in there. But speaking of it this way, every human, ultimately, as the scripture said, we read earlier, Philippians and Romans and in Isaiah, will submit to God, whether willingly or unwillingly, all right? It's going to happen. So thankfully, we have the opportunity, we can choose to willingly submit and to bow before the Lord now, to bow on our knees before the Lord now. So I want to focus on that just a little bit, willingly. If we are willingly bowing our knees before the Lord now, that means that we have opened up the channel, number one, to be saved, all right? But beyond all that, to receive his ongoing help in whatever it is we face in life. So we keep that as an ongoing thing, something we do every day. We bow on our knees, whether physically or within our hearts. We bow before the Lord because we're honoring and reverencing him and we're worshiping him for his power and his majesty and his might, what he can do for us, okay? But we're choosing to do that. And it's not a problem at all for us. We can call upon his name anytime. I've used this example so many times because I do it myself. We can be driving down the road. We can be laying in bed. We can be sitting in a chair. We can be at our office. We can be wherever. And we can bow our hearts and our minds to the Lord right there. We may not be able to physically bow on our knees, but we're submitting and we're honoring the Lord and we're looking to him. We're desiring him to hear us. We're desiring to connect with him, all right? So that's a wonderful privilege we can experience right now, every day. And again, that takes the fear out of, we don't have to worry about when the end of time comes. And that's what the Sunday school lesson was this morning, the end of time. And we don't have to worry about that. And yeah, every knee will bow and we're like, you know what? That's just second nature because I'm used to doing that now. Thank the Lord that we can be saved and not have to worry about that. That willingly we're bowing before the Lord every day right now anyway. Thank the Lord. But then the other hand, there are those that will be bowing unwillingly. You understand what I'm saying? They haven't been practicing it throughout their life. It's foreign to them. They're not familiar with it. They're not acquainted with this God. They're not acquainted with this Jesus, the Savior that's coming back in the clouds someday in an instant. And they're going to go and they're just going to bow and worship before the Lord. It's like they can't help it because all power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. And it's something that ultimately the Lord will say unto them, depart from me because I never knew you. They hadn't been practicing bowing their knees before the Lord for their lives. Therefore, he didn't know them. He wasn't acquainted with them. I've never seen this before. You're choosing, well, they didn't choose. You're doing it now, but it's because you're made to. Because I'm going to be your judge, Jesus is saying, all right? That's fearful to think of it that way. But thank the Lord, we don't have to be fearful of that in the sense of being afraid, all right? But we can say, come Lord Jesus, I'm ready. I want to see you. Thank the Lord. And I want to point this out too. In the scripture in Philippians, in verse 10, it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. So I want to talk about that just a little bit here. The name of Jesus. It's not so much the sound of saying the word or the name Jesus. They can mean that. But it's more emphasis is mainly on this part. It's because of his authority and his power. Because there is power in his name. So the point is, it's... again, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. When Jesus is standing there and he's judging, all right, every knee is going to bow because he lived a holy life. He lived free from sin. He was resurrected from the grave, all right? where the devil tried to defeat him, but Jesus in turn defeated him, all right? So he has power over death, hell, and the grave, all right? So he's standing in all power and authority. Even all the devils and his angels, they're bowing to, realizing he is the supreme, the almighty, standing there to judge the whole earth. And every knee will bow at his name. Thank the Lord. He'll be our judge and our king. So, if I could narrow this down to two main points this morning, I want to say it this way. Point number one, this can be an encouragement of hope, all right? So I want to talk about that a little bit. Because the fact that every knee shall bow is giving us something. It's giving us a confidence as believers that God is going to ultimately correct all injustices. All right, let me say that again. That God's going to correct all the injustices once and forever and for all. The trillions of injustices that have happened over time, God's going to correct them at the judgment day. It's not on us to do it. But God has the power through his son Jesus to execute judgment in an instant that day, the last day, the judgment day, upon everyone, upon all mankind. Folks, that is powerful to think about. But we take comfort in it because, quite honestly, I'll just say it this way. Sometimes in life, we can get frustrated and we can get cumbered sometimes with injustices. Maybe things we've experienced, or maybe it's some injustices someone has committed upon our loved ones. And we're like, that is not fair. That is not right. And it's like, we never can see justice in this life, it seems like. And it's true. Maybe we won't. Scripture says God has the grace for us. But folks, it can still be frustrating to us. But my challenge is, for us all, let's not be consumed with that. But let's take consolation that the Lord says, I will repay, saith the Lord. He's the one that's going to execute judgment. And folks, his judgment will be final. You realize the judgment that's actually done to people here on this earth is really temporary. And sometimes it's not adequate anyway. But whatever the case, and it may seem like someone goes on for years or maybe their whole life, and they get away with everything, it seems like. Do they? The Lord knows their ways. The Lord knows, and it can even be someone that can go through the motions and they can bow their knees and it looks like they're submitting to God and his will and his ways, but inside is corruption. God sees that. It's not fooling him. It can fool us. But even those injustices where people can live a whole life as a hypocrite. Jesus talked to the Pharisees and the Sadducees because there were so many hypocrites there. You whited sepulchers. They looked good on the outside, but within they were rotten. They were corrupt. You know what? They'll be standing before the judgment seat too. Their knees are going to bow, though they didn't bow to Jesus in the flesh and they didn't bow in their hearts. They're going to bow at some point to their fate. Well, again, I want us to be encouraged here this morning that we have a God that is just in all his ways, and he's fair and right, and he knows. I have taken such comfort in this. The psalmist David said this: he knoweth the way that I take. Because quite frankly, folks, sometimes in life, there are some injustices that we have to deal with, and it's not fun. But let's take comfort and hope that God's going to take care of that. that we can cast those cares upon him, because we can't handle those things. We're not made to carry those loads, folks. Let's not be consumed with those things. Let's cast those on the Lord. Say, Lord, you can take that. I'm bowing at your cross. I'm bowing at your feet that you take that load off of me, because I can't handle it. That's looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Thank the Lord. So that's one point. The encouragement of the hope that we have that God's going to, he'll have justice. Thank the Lord. And here's the second point I want us to get a hold of this morning. That this is also a call to worship. When we're bowing in our hearts and our minds and on our knees before the Lord, it's in worship and adoration to him, okay? To where it's a reminder to us all to daily surrender our lives to him. Do we daily bow on our knees and say, Lord, I'm still here and I'm thankful you're still here and I need your help again today. You know, that's part of worship. And then the other part of it is saying, Lord, and thank you again. And we start making a long list of thanksgivings and praises and answers of prayer and all these things God has done for us. And again, in adoration, we're bowing before him saying, thank you, Lord. Only you can do that. No one else can, but you can, Lord. That's part of worshiping him. So I want to conclude it this way. I want to talk about a few things here as we wrap this up. You realize that we, even though in our culture here in America, we don't have, like I said, we're not experienced with the servants and the masters so much and the kings and queens and dictators, and we're more of a democracy where we're all, as our Constitution says, you know, that we're all equal, created equal in God's sight. So it's a little different, but I want us to understand something, and I'm going to just bring it home to even worship services here, that we practice and encourage each other to bow before the Lord. Now, like I said, sometimes folks can't, all right? So I'm not just emphasizing physically having to bow on our knees. It's a privilege. When you can, you can. If you can't, you can. That's fine. But we practice bowing on our knees, just like coming to an altar of prayer. How many times have we seen the altars lined at Monarch or at other camp meetings, and they have to bring out more benches? And, you know, that is a wonderful sight to behold. No one's forcing people to humble themselves and bow at an altar of prayer, all right? No one, it's willingly. And so they're bowing their knees before their Lord and Savior saying, I need something today. And folks, that gets the Lord's attention. And it's beyond just the physical. That's part of it, all right? But it goes deeper than that. It's within our hearts. Because sometimes we can get up from that altar and we go on with everyday life. And sometimes we hit some snags along the way. But thank the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, we can still get on our knees and bow before the Lord wherever we're at in life. It doesn't matter. We have the right and privilege to bow before him, say, Lord, I still worship you. I still adore you. I still need your help from day to day, because I'm just a little child, as Brother Drew was saying earlier. I'm just a little child that needs your help, Daddy. And thank the Lord, he hears and answers those prayers, folks. Thank the Lord, he does. But I want to say this too. As we bow before the Lord, it teaches our hearts to have a true fear and reverence of the Lord, and to seek him more. As I mentioned earlier, the scripture, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Because folks, Jesus has the power and authority to help us finish our fight of faith. It's great to get started and we can get all inspired and we're all full of zeal and all, and that's great. But you know, sometimes in the daily grind of life, we can get wore down sometimes. But you know what we must do at that time? Continue looking unto Jesus, the author, because as we bow our knees before him, then we're looking up at him, realizing it's only through him we're going to make it through this, folks. But I'm thankful He's the finisher of our faith. So in conclusion, as we're bowing to the Lord, whether it's physically or in our hearts, that means we're opening our hearts and our minds to the Lord. Folks, this is nothing new. I've said those words many times, but that's what it's doing. It's training, it's teaching our hearts as we bow before Him that, Lord, I'm looking to You. I'm open to what You have for me. I'm open for You to reveal things to me. Because we're needy creatures, aren't we? Okay? But it's beyond all of that. It's also acknowledging His ultimate power and authority, that He can do something with us and in us right now. And not wait till the end when it's too late. But we willingly choose to humble and bow our hearts to Him now. Thank the Lord. What a beautiful picture. And that's part of what worship is. That we, as we bow before Him, that He be glorified. That we bow our knees and our hearts to our Savior. It's to our Redeemer. It's to our leader, our finisher, as I mentioned. He's our helper, our comforter, our healer, our friend. Folks, isn't this wonderful that we have the privilege today, tomorrow, every day from now till the end of time, that we can willingly choose to worship Him, to honor Him, to revere Him, and to invite Him, all of His power and authority, into our lives. So start changing and transforming and inspiring us and strengthening us and all the things that, like I said, sometimes we get wore out physically, mentally, emotionally, where sometimes we just feel spent. And even in those times, we can bow our knees before the Lord and say, Lord, You're still my Savior. You're still my friend. I'm so thankful, Lord, that I can tell You all my troubles. I can tell You all my cares, and I can cast them on You. And the things that I've been carrying and worrying and fretting and having anxiety about, all these things, Lord, I can bow before You and I can roll them off on You, and You'll carry them. The Lord will take care of those things. We were made as sheep. We were made to carry loads. But Jesus said, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Folks, that's what we find when we bow before the Lord, is He can give us that peace and that rest that we've been longing for. And we have the privilege that we can willingly choose to do it now. Pray for me that I would do likewise. Amen.